Invite you to be seated. As you do, would you quiet your hearts and your minds with me for a word of prayer as we come to think more on God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, even as you sent the star to lead the wise men to Jesus to worship him, we pray that you would be sending us your Holy Spirit to lead us, to call us, to guide us to Jesus, to life in him. We pray that you would shine upon our time together this morning, that you would open your word to us, open our hearts to your word. Give us life and transformation. Amen. So we're going to be looking primarily at Matthew chapter 2 there, that story of the wise men coming to worship Jesus. And I've always marveled at this story, you know, the simple fact that you have these three guys, the wise guys, as some have called them in the past, you know, these wise men, the magi, which is a Greek word there, but that you have these three men looking at the stars. They see something different, something stand out for them, and they simply get up and go. Right? They simply get up and go. It doesn't seem like they spent, you know, the text doesn't say they spent a lot of time planning or you know, booking reservations and you know, getting airline tickets and all that kind of stuff. Right? It kind of sounds like they saw the star and they got up and went. I've never traveled that way. This summer was the closest we've ever come to doing that, going down to the Oregon coast. We knew where we wanted to end up, but it was kind of, we'll drive and see where we're at and see where we end up, you know, that day. I've always planned a lot more thoroughly than that. Maybe some of you have taken holidays like that. You just get in the car and see where you end up. Have you done that? Seems very stressful to me. I don't know. I could never do that, but right, it's not something for me anyway that's built into me. It's not something that I would do. Just set out on a trip not knowing where I'm going. Especially in today's world where we're all so dependent on GPS, right? You just punch it in and your car takes you there practically on its own. I've always marveled at that, you know, that they simply went. They simply followed a star. They didn't know where exactly they were going. And we see that over and over in this story. The wise men didn't know exactly where they were going. But repeatedly we see emphasized that they knew who they were going to see and what they were following. Right, the wise men knew who they were going to see, what they were following, even though they didn't know the destination. I think that's an awful like how we ought to live as Christians, or called to live as Christians. We'll unpack that this morning. The wise men knew who they were going to see, what they were following, but they didn't know the destination. They simply followed. You know, we live in a kind of a remarkable age. It's an age of discovery, isn't it? Maybe not discovering new worlds. Pretty much all the worlds and all the land in the world has been explored already. Maybe beyond the world, there's still some exploration. But it's an age of exploration, of exploring self. It's kind of the trend that we've moved toward, an age of self-exploration. Right, you might have heard a phrase that might be the catchphrase of the current age. You can be anything you want to be. Right, you've heard that before? It's been said for many, many years, kind of takes on different meanings nowadays. You can be anything you want to be. And on the one hand, I do like that. I like that idea, that sentiment, because in its best sense, in its best construction, it's about not putting a limit or not you know, you grew up in this family, so this is what you have to be, or this is what you have to do, or this is what you're supposed to look like or act. Right? On the one hand, it's breaking stereotypes and molds in its purest and its best form. But I worry about that phrase. Because again, much like traveling with no sense of destination or sense of purpose, kind of feeds into this idea of life is disorienting. I don't actually know who I am, what I'm supposed to be, right? That's what that ultimately is about. Trying to find yourself, trying to figure out who you're supposed to be, maybe for the moment, maybe for the next few years, whatever it is. It really is kind of a disorienting thing when taken to its extreme. Because how do you know when you've arrived, right? How do you know when you've arrived at whatever you're supposed to be? If you have a good answer for that, maybe let me know. I've not been able to figure one out. Because it's something that seems to keep shifting, keep evolving, keep changing, depending on the time, the age, the day, whatever it is. It really is kind of disorienting. And it leads to experimenting with all kinds of different thoughts and ideologies, kind of picking and choosing what works for you, what works best, what you think is right for now or for the moment. We live in an age where we're trying to discover ourselves, find ourselves. More and more so, we're asking the question, who am I? The wise men's journey here in this story, it wasn't a journey of self-discovery, because we're told that the wise men already knew who they were looking for, right? The wise men knew who they were looking for. Look at verse 2 there. It says, they went after seeing the star. They ended up in Jerusalem. They came to King Herod, and they asked, where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. This wasn't an act of self-discovery, trying to find something new or a new idea. This was an act of coming to worship Jesus. It wasn't an ambiguous search, you know, there's something remarkable happened in the sky, let's go try to figure out what that means. It was a search for someone specifically. It was a search for Jesus. It's a clearly defined search. The wise men knew who they were looking for. Who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? It's maybe an especially timely question as a new year dawns, right? Everyone starts out the new year with fresh optimism and fresh hope. You know, this is what I want to be at the end of the year. Right? Maybe you set off wanting to be the perfect mom or the better housekeeper or a successful farmer or businessman or, you know, whatever the ideal is in your head. Who are you looking for? So I think deep down inside, each of us is looking for someone. Each of us is looking for someone. So often we try to fill that in what we do and how we act and what we think and the people we associate with. But I would suggest to you that the wise men have it right here. And as much as each of us is looking for someone, it's not found within ourselves or how much we can better ourselves or what we can do differently with ourselves. It's found in Jesus. It's found in the person of Jesus. I would suggest to you that we all are looking for Jesus, whether we realize it or not. Because it's only in him, right, that we do ultimately have life, that we do have hope, that we do have meaning and purpose for life, for today, for the coming days. It's only in him that we have life forever, eternal life. The whole reason why he came to the earth, the manger is still there, right? The whole reason he came to the earth, that he would live and die, rise again for you and me, that we would have life with him. We all are looking for Jesus. We may be searching for him in different places or in different ways. We're all looking for Jesus. We're all looking for that one to follow. And in our search for Jesus, as we go looking for him, looking for that one who completes us, who gives us meaning and fulfillment in life, it's easy to be looking for him in the wrong places. Right? Anytime you want, you can turn on YouTube and listen to an expert in any kind of field, or any so-called expert. We all can sit down and make our own videos about whatever we want. Right? We claim Wikipedia or YouTube or I saw it on the internet, it must be true, right? We claim all of that as authoritative. And yet, how much of that is paying attention to the flashiest thing, the latest and greatest, the thing that's trending currently, the best dressed, you know, whatever our criteria might be? See, the wise men didn't follow the latest trend, you know, the latest Instagram star or whatever. They didn't follow the latest trend or the flashiest object. You might think they did, a star. It's, I don't know. Bad attempt at a pun here, sorry. right? But they didn't follow the latest and greatest. They followed a star, yes, but even beyond that, they followed God's word. Because again, what would make three very well-educated, very smart men see something in the sky, decide to pack up and travel kind of on a whim? They must have known there was something to that star. It must have stood out as something they've never seen before, but also as something that they recognized signaled something important. It would seem that they knew God's word. As ancient wise men, they probably would have studied all the wisdom books from all different kinds of religions. They would have been familiar with all those things. But throughout ancient prophecy, we heard Isaiah 60 talking about a star shining coming out of Bethlehem. We see in Numbers chapter 24 another prophecy speaking of a star rising in Jacob, the scepter, the rule of God coming out of it. Numbers 24 verse 17 talks of that. You see, these wise men, they didn't just see something interesting that caught their eye and wanted to follow it. They saw something interesting that caught their eye that fit with Scripture, with God's word, with what they had learned. And in doing so, they followed God's word to the Savior of the world. They followed God's word to the Savior of the world. That's why we stress so much spending time in the word and in prayer. Because it's in being God's word and knowing God's word that we see that we find the Savior of the world. Again, when the star appeared, they knew they went. It doesn't sound like they deliberated much. They didn't, you know, try to discern what was happening. They knew and they went. They had God's word in their heart. They knew it and they followed it. Is God's word hidden in our hearts? Do we know it? Do we have it ready? Are we ready to follow it? But therein lies, I think, the frustration that many have. right? You're faced with a difficult decision to make. You're faced with a problem, a difficult relationship or something. Sometimes we go to God and say, God, just give me a star to follow, right? Wouldn't you just give me a star to follow so I know what steps I need to take and what I should be doing today, how I should go, right? Does anybody ever wish for that, kind of a turn-by-turn navigation for life? No, really, just me? I find that hard to believe. That would be nice, wouldn't it, sometimes? It would be nice sometimes. But in doing so, it makes it about the destination. Right? It makes it solely about the destination. Where am I going to end up? What am I supposed to do? How can I get there the fastest? As all of us guys will attest, that's what we want to do, right? The most direct route to anything. Is that what the wise men did? They followed the star directly to where Jesus was? Is that how the story goes? Everyone's really dead today, okay. It's not how the story goes, is it? They go first to Jerusalem, to King Herod, and they ask, where is the king that's been born? We've come to worship him. Herod's like, what king? I don't know. I'll ask my wise people and try to figure this out. And eventually, they're led by that same star back to Bethlehem or to Bethlehem. You know, again, in life and in all of life, you know, we think the most direct route is the best route. The quickest way is the best way. But in doing so, again, we make it about the destination. But I would suggest to you what we learn here in this story is that the destination matters. Yes, absolutely. The wise men were seeking Jesus. They wanted to get to Jesus to worship him. Ultimately, they do, right? They ultimately get there. The destination is important. But I think what the story reminds us of, the journey is equally as important. The destination is important, but so is the journey. So wise men didn't go straight to their destination. They went off the beaten path. They went to Jerusalem and then down to Bethlehem. See, there's times that God doesn't lead us directly to Bethlehem, but he takes us through Jerusalem first. There's times in life that God doesn't take us the most direct way, but takes us a long, circuitous way, which can be very frustrating sometimes. Right? You think back to how God led his people out of Egypt. He took 40 years. A journey that would take just a couple weeks normally. Maybe you experience that in your life. You feel like you've been wandering around forever. I just want to get there. I just want to end up there. I just want to get to my destination. I just want to be with Jesus. Yet it's in those moments of wandering that God meets with us, that God works, and that people cross our paths. See, God doesn't just lead us on a wild goose chase or a journey, but he's purposeful in everything he does, in all his leading. See, the destination matters, but so does the journey. How we live today matters. What we do with our lives today matters. We're called to live purposefully, with the destination in mind, with life forever, with God in mind. We're called to live purposefully, though, today, not hurrying to that end. You know, again, I think that's one of the faults that we've had, especially in the North American church, is that we've made it all about ourselves. You know, I just want to get to heaven, and I don't care about anything else. I don't care about anybody else or, you know, what happens now. I just want to get there. We get so focused on that. And again, the destination matters. The destination is important. It's what ultimately matters. But the journey is important as well. I think back to the Gospels. You know, when his Jesus' disciples were saying, Lord, what must we do to inherit eternal life and everything? And at the end of the age, Jesus says, many will cry to me, Lord, Lord. They'll cry out to me, haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we healed people, driven out demons? Jesus replies, I never knew you. He goes on to talk about when I was thirsty, you didn't give me drink. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was in prison, you didn't visit me. See, Jesus is stressing that the destination matters, but so does the journey, the people along the way, because all people matter to God, and that's what Epiphany ultimately is about. The reminder that Jesus came not just for a select group of people, but that Jesus came to be the light for the whole world, for all people, that all people would come to him, would arrive at the same destination as him, as they put their hope, their trust in him and him alone. And so Epiphany calls us to live purposefully and intentionally. That's why this year we're going to keep doubling down a little bit on this, what's on the bulletin board back there, this idea of seeking the welfare of leader, of seeking out the peace, the prosperity, wanting to see our community, our relationships, our families, people around us thrive, want to be a blessing to them. Because as we meet them along the journey, it's along that journey we can welcome them along to the destination. So we'll be thinking about that more so in the coming weeks, this idea again of seeking the welfare of leader, ways that we can practically share the peace of Christ so we can seek to be a blessing to those around us. It doesn't have to be big, profound ways, but simple ways. Little things that we can do, that people know that we care about them, that we love them, and more so that God cares for them and loves them and has sent his son for them. So even though the wise men didn't ultimately know their destination, where they ended up, they knew who they were looking for. They knew what to follow. Can the same be said about us? Are we so focused on the destination that we forget those around us? Seek the Christ child. Seek the Lord, the one who has come for you. Follow his word, know his word. Be prepared to live it out, to trust him as he leads us through the journey in the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen.